And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is December 14, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is the Impossible Truth. Today, as we round up to end the Hanukkah, we have to tell and report about another bloody attack that happened on innocent civilian in Jerusalem, and we're still praying for someone that will make sense out of all this mess in the region. So let's start with Senator Rubio and what he had to said on the Senate floor. That will give us one aspect of the news.
Mr. President.
The Senator from Florida.
Mr. President, I'll be brief. I know the Senator from Tennessee would like to close on this matter. I think everything that needs to be said about the details of this deal have already been said. I do want to be recorded for history's purposes before I know what is going to happen in regards to this if it goes through. Iran will immediately use the money that it's receiving in sanctions relief to begin to build up its conventional capabilities. It will establish the most dominant military power in the region outside of the United States, and it will raise the price of us operating in the region. They're going to build anti-access capabilities, rockets capable of destroying our aircraft carriers and ships, continue to build these swift boats that are able to come on us, these fast boats that are able to swarm our naval assets. And they'll make it harder and harder for U.S. troops to be in the region. They'll also work with other terrorist groups in the region to target American servicemen and women. And they may or may not deny that they're involved, but they will target us and raise the price of our presence in the Middle East until they hope to completely pull us out of that region. They'll also continue to build long-range missiles, missiles capable of reaching the United States. Those are not affected by this deal, and they'll continue to build them as they've been doing. And then at some point in the near future, when the time is right, they will build a nuclear weapon. And they will do so because at that point they will know that they have become immune, that we will no longer be able to strike their nuclear program because the price of doing so will be too high. This is not just a work of imagination. It exists in the world today. It's called North Korea, where a lunatic possesses dozens of nuclear weapons and a long-range rocket that can already reach the United States. And we cannot do anything about it. An attack on North Korea today would result in an attack on Tokyo or Seoul or Guam or Hawaii or California. And so the world must now live with a lunatic in possession of nuclear weapons. And this is the goal Iran has as well, to reach a point where they become immune to any sort of credible military threat because the price of a military strike would be too high. And then they become an established nuclear weapons power. And never in the history of the world has such a regime ever possessed weapons so capable of destruction. Iran is led by a supreme leader who is a radical Shia cleric with an apocalyptic vision of the future. He is not a traditional geopolitical actor who makes decisions on the basis of borders or simply history or because of ambitions. He has an religious apocalyptic vision of the future, one that calls for triggering a conflict between the non-Muslim world and the Muslim world, one that he feels especially obligated to trigger. And he's going to possess nuclear weapons. This is the world that we are on the verge of leaving our children to inherit. And perhaps we ourselves will have to share in it. And so I want to be recorded for history's purposes, if nothing else, to say that those of us who opposed this deal understood where it would lead. And we are making a terrible mistake. And I fear that a passage of this deal will make it even harder for us to prevent it. And I hope that there is still time to change our minds. But here's the good news. Iran may have a supreme leader, but America does not. In this nation, we have a republic, and soon we will have new leaders, perhaps in this chamber, but also in the executive branch. And I pray that on their first day in office, they will reverse this deal and reimpose the sanctions and back them up with a credible threat of military force, or history will condemn us for not doing what needed to be done at this critical moment in the world's history. I yield the floor.
All right. That was Senator Rubio talking about the Iran deal and what it does if actually it's going to go sour. We're saying that because in the news there were some reports that Iran actually examined the long-range missile, which is in contradiction with the agreement that she signed. It means that all the relief that was supposed to come to her should be stopped because she actually went against the deal. Now, the question is if we're going to hold strong and stand still and not release any funds for them to continue this incredible journey to nuclear weapon. And we have an example set by the North Korea, as Senator Rubio said, that the North Korea regime has a long-range missile which control and dominate the area and makes it impossible to interact with it in any form. I don't remember any negotiation going there except, our American basketball player went there to talk to him, but it wasn't on a mission. Anyway, the situation is becoming to be a little stranded, because if the Iranians are shooting off missile, it's not definitely helping to the balance of power in Europe or in the Middle East. Now let's continue with some more news. So we get going. You know, it's really hard on the end of Hanukkah to start talking about the actual fact of life. And this is the holiday season for all, and we want to be festive and we want to be cheerful. But we need to be vigilant. And I'm giving you that to remind us that we cannot stop. You know, remember what Jefferson used to say, if I'm correct about Jefferson, that liberty needs to be fought for. You cannot. It's not for free. Is that to him? Please don't hold it against me. Anyway, I really hope, that we are careful. Because this 11 wounded in Jerusalem a few hours ago, it's ridiculous, with the 65-year-old woman and a 1.5-year-old toddler. What did they do today to end up in hospital? God bless them. All right, let's listen to more news.
Well, as you can see, your old pal Jay Snip to the fourth power has taken the weekend off a bit. Here, haven't done any videos to release for you guys, but plenty to talk about. And I'm going to start this Monday morning with the fact that world leaders just agreed to a historic climate accord, which is non-binding and has no enforcement language. That's like a bunch of people getting together in a room. Yeah, you know, we ought to do this. Yeah, we should do that too. You know what? I suggest we do that. You know what? That all sounds good. You guys think that sounds good? Yeah, it sounds good. And then we leave. You guys going to sign that? Are you going to sign anything? Any kind of legal? Well, that's right. You can't really do that, can you? Most countries can't legally sign some kind of binding agreement like that, right? We're sovereign nations. You sign these little treaties with other countries, and then at any time, either side can say the treaty is over just because I felt like it. Oh, you know, my shoulder hurts a little bit, right? Treaty is over. Okay, no problem. See you later. All this talk about global warming. Remember that we're going to try to keep the temperature from rising more than 2 degrees Celsius. I've said this before. Ice core samples, thousands upon thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands even, of years ago. Ice core sample data shows that there's warming and cooling of great variations throughout history. You know, back when we were crawling on the ground and beating animals over the head with a stick and eating and living that way, you know, those days. When, in other words, we couldn't have been spewing carbon in the air. Exactly. So if you don't mind, I'd like to share some data with you before I even read this article. Let's start off with this page here. 2010, Antarctica peer-reviewed research. Ice core data confirms medieval period warmer than present. That's funny. Medieval, like a few hundred years ago, medieval? Or actually, even longer. So right off the bat, let's just look at these first three sentences, then I'll show you the chart. The medieval warming period had temperatures that approached 1 degree Celsius higher than current temperatures, in spite of lower CO2 levels. Number two, the Minoan warming period had temperatures that possibly exceeded current temperatures by 1 degree Celsius, in spite of lower CO2 levels. Number three, my favorite. The previous interglacial period, approximately 130,000 years ago, had temperatures in excess of 4 degrees.
All right, we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. We were talking or listening to this incredible segment that talk about the summit, the climate summit that just ended up in Paris, France, which so many hundreds of states signed an agreement to lower the warmth of the atmosphere. I don't know what they're signing off. This is like talking to God and making an agreement. We really agree together that it's too hot here. Let's reduce the heat. I don't know how they pretend to do it. And this guy was trying to tell you that the atmosphere change temperature constantly up and down. And in many places where they expected higher, I'm not sure where we go because nobody can prove it right and nobody can prove it wrong, so it's all speculation. But whatever. Once, let's say we speculate and we have to take a stand. All right, I accept that. I accept that the environment is really, really important and Gaza mission is devastating to all. It makes people sick. We need to cut this. That thick smoke needs to go. No question about it. And where is the thick smoke? Of course, in LA, I know, remember that clearly. But in China, they cannot even walk. They need a mask. Now, who's gonna pay? Who's gonna write the check? There is a big chunk that the U.S. supposed to put. Now, why the U.S. is going to put money? Let's ask the question careful. They're going to put money in Africa, where transparency is famous, where nobody is got corrupted over the last century, or they didn't put many in jail for for corruption. And the devastation of the Africans are still there. Now, we want Africa to succeed. I remember I was a few years back on kind of a journey pushing forward some new project for development and agriculture because I believe that Africa has essentially has a lot of things to preserve and I know that the drought is killing them, but we don't need to put money. We need to put project inside there. We need to create the project and install it. You don't want to just throw the money over there, and please don't give it through the humanitarian blah 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 because you really don't know where it's going. And I'm always sick and tired. But the question is, why America needs to put the major part of the money? Why are we gonna corrupt again the bank? We're gonna make bankrupt America to help the atmosphere. Who knows? I would say that America needs to invest in her Gaza mission, clear the air in-house, all right? Don't take their money. The effort needs to bring businesses to the country, not take away the liquidity of one. I'm serious. I'm so concerned about America because the balance of the economy is so, so sensitive, and you cannot just commit yourself. I remember, you know, everybody who is in large business ever understand that you can walk as much as you got the power to. In business, you need to have oil to, you know, to put in the engine, and liquidity is the most important thing. And one thing that most companies that go under do is to spread themselves too thin. It means they commit themselves too thin all over the board. It means that you take a loan and you go and you invest and you hope, you know, it's going to rain. But then you invest and you invest and you invest, and then you have to put, you know, more oil to all those resources because they all breed. It's like a creature. You create entity that need to be cared for. And the bank, and the season, you know, it's a wonderful atmosphere. They give you money. Then, you know, it starts raining, and sure enough, they take off the loan and they collect everything. So don't spread yourself too thin. And America, you know, right now, she cannot spread herself too thin. And I'm so sorry. We are in that place where we're praying for the safeguard of America, because her economy, she's want to safeguard so many countries, so many, you know, families, so many institutions. America been, you know, in the front of so many projects, but she threw herself into a place where she's scattered too thin, all right? So I don't like the summit conclusion. I don't care what they say. I don't want them to, you know, to come and get a check from America. I'm sorry. That's my feeling, and I believe in that, and I think that everyone has, you know, you have to legislate low, and, you know, the people that makes the gas should pay the bills. Yes, sure, but not Mama, you know, Uncle Sam again. All right, let's get some more music, and we'll be after that. All right, that was Mia, Miss Independence. I put it on because somebody told me yesterday, you are independent woman. I said, you better believe it, I am. Trust me, it's not easy to get this way. However, how you get independence? And, you know, there is a comment I wanted to refer to, because before I mentioned Jefferson by saying, you know, freedom is then free, and actually freedom is not free is the quote that the soldier are using to remind everybody that we need to fight for our freedom. And that's a very worthy sentence to say. But what Jefferson actually said, that I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. You know, it's better to be free even that you have a little danger than to be in peace but enslaved. That's why he was Jefferson. All right, let's continue with, if look at the region. So Mr. Rubio really was very concerned, and, you know, abdomen was Iran. Now let's talk about the, you know, the refugee situation still. We do have a refugee situation in Syria, which are, of course, running around from Turkey to Europe. And the Europeans try to bribe the Turks to make sure that they don't leave. And the Turks say, yes, we'll take your money. And they did, I guess. But they still let the refugee go in some sort of way. And Turkey is always on the balance of playing double sword thing, because they're fighting with the Russian. Now they were in very, very bad situation with Israel, but all of a sudden they want to become friends. And, you know, the Israelis don't really want to take any stand. Of course, they want to negotiate, they want to sell, but the truth of the matter is, right now, they're not going to put any you know, pennies in this jar. The Turks been asking for it for a long time, and they're not going to get the easy way out from all of this. But while the refugee running and the German decide to stop the refugees from entering the European Union if they could, but Germany in particular, there is one country that says, you know what, I'm going to welcome them. And it's a video, but you're going to listen to the Prime Minister of Canada soon. And I want to tell you something. Tears in my eyes were completely, you know, overwhelming, because the truth of the matter is that people are people, and I don't know how we can distinguish, and I know that there are many are dangerous, but we need to save for the rest of them. We need to save them. So we don't know what way to go, actually. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes if you choose light, you overlook sometimes, you know, the risk, but you are with God. So let's listen to what the Prime Minister of Canada had to say.
How you will receive these people tonight will be something they will remember for the rest of their lives, but also I know something that you will remember for the rest of your lives. And I thank you deeply for being a part of this, because this matters. Tonight matters, not just for Canada, but for the world.
It's fair to say that Canadians have shown enormous support for these new arrivals. Let's give you an idea of this. Canada's largest circulating newspaper is the Toronto Star. It devoted, as you can see, its entire front page yesterday to this message for the refugees, "Welcome to Canada," the headline with the Arabic transliteration below. On social media, the Twitter hashtag "Welcome to Canada" has been trending. Just one typical tweet for you from Julie Ann Morneau saying, "So proud to be Canadian. I live in a country that is choosing compassion over fear." Others simply shared an image of that iconic Canadian maple leaf within a heart with the words, "Welcome Syrians." And photographer Stacey Newman shared photos from the Pearson International Airport of locals waiting to greet those refugees with welcome signs and, importantly, with donations.
All right. You know what? I have to give it to him. He touched the heart and soul of many people. He brought, he's bringing refugees. Canada is a large, huge country, which has incredible resources to facilitate this. Beautiful. By all means, you know, some country needs to stand up. It's going to be a really close enough test to see if it's working. This guy, Trudeau, Prime Minister Trudeau, was born only in 1971. He's like 44 years old or something like that. And his heart is a giant, a lion heart. So good for him. May be that grace that helps the world. But we have so many more to deal with, and we are not sure that anybody is willing to take them in. But the truth, Mr. Bush, the candidate Bush, said that we need to facilitate a safe zone for them, safe haven, not to, so they don't have to leave. That's very important, and it's actually very realistic. Instead of dragging them over the continent, completely going through waters in boats, create a safe haven. How many troops there are in the region? You know, the American troops are ready to go, and everybody is making noise that they're going to get into action. And we have the Russians, and we have the French, and the English. And all of this, of course, they are in cahoots, and they're working together, and they're planning how it's going to be. But the truth of the matter is, the one in refugees, we need to make sure that we start, creating some environment, growing environment. Because those of ISIS are not going away anytime soon if we don't do, drastic measures, if we don't take drastic measure to finish this. And many people say that we have the capability as world to finish with this situation. Or anybody ever called them to give up their arms and just surrender? Let's start with calling them, surrendering your arm, because if not, the armed forces of the global armed forces is going to come and destroy whatever you have there. So let's call upon them. I didn't hear that in the news, and I've been listening to quite some time now, and I can promise you I will be very happy to hear that. So by all means, let's listen to some music. So we'll get in the atmosphere a little, some festivity that we deserve. All right, that was exciting music to listen to. Now, do you know that the Airbus A380 is the best airplane in the world? That's what Global Traveler magazine is being, investigating to which one the people prefer. And it's funny because it's the first time that Boeing does not get the title. So good for you, Airbus. I guess that the power goes to Europe now because it's French and German. So it's a combination. And, of course, there was some Italian information. Maybe on Wednesday I'm going to get some more detail about that. But anyway, to going back to the situation in the Middle East, I know that the president of the U.S. Declared that ISIS is losing a lot of grounds, territorial grounds, and some of their leaders got killed in the process of, the rally that everybody's gone is taking against them. So may the forces be with you, as they say in Star Wars, and I know that there is a new release of that movie, and I hope all the best for that, because Harrison Ford is a good actor. So it just got connected. I didn't plan it in advance, all right? I just did it. All right, children. Let's do something. Let's listen to more news, if I have any for you, and we can talk back after that.
This is a trial that's all about free speech. And China was keeping journalists well away. But this was forceful even by China's usual standards for press access. A sign of just how significant and sensitive a case this is.
So as you can see, it's quite an aggressive action now by this plainclothes police officer here, pushing the journalist back There's uniformed police officers as well, a large security presence, moving both journalists and protesters away from the front of the court.
Puja Chang has long been one of China's best-known lawyers and a staunch defender of human rights. In this BBC interview, he calls for an end to one-party rule. For years, this dissent may have rankled, but it was tolerated, not anymore. The case against him is based on just 7 tweets he posted on Chinese social media. Why wouldn't China work without the Communist Party, he asks in one. In another, he focuses on the restive region of Xinjiang. If it belongs to China, he asks, then don't treat it as a colony. Mildly irreverent, perhaps, but a crime?
Lawyers and civil society leaders, such as Mr. Pu, should not be subject to continuing repression.
Even diplomats, who had hoped to observe the court proceedings, were pushed and hassled away. Supporters and friends of Puja Chang received even shorter shrift.
All right, we're back. That's the situation in China where human rights activists are actually acting up and for a trial for defending of free speech. They're pressed all the press there, and it's not going to be funny. It's not going to be funny because the Chinese are not tolerable, you know, they don't tolerate this kind of disobedience. And of course, they have one party regime. And, you know, many, many years ago, I remember I was in California and I got invited to go to the summit when Mrs. Clinton went to talk about women rights. And I still feel sorry I didn't have a chance to go there at the same summit. But I remember the change in atmosphere since that comment, because she came out of the blue and she just talked to them about women rights. And now they're talking about human rights, about freedom of speech, stuff that it wasn't even embedded in their way of living. And of course, the West is changing, like the change that happened in Saudis. They had an election. The Saudis elected women to power for the first time in history. And of course, you see the world evolving. And I keep on talking about the region, the Middle East, and I try to concentrate on this, and I understand the involvement of the American, but now you see the Canadian are getting involved. You see that there were uproaring come in China. You see that Africa is coming and asking for money for funds to global climate, whatever you ticket you wanted, they need funds. And you see that the world is a mess, to say the least. But we're here and we pray. We pray that something is going to happen. And, you know, for the first time now, the European Union are talking again about putting Turkey inside the European Union, which is a contradiction, because if they want to keep the refugee out, then you give Turkey the right to vote, the right to be a part of it, of the European Union. Yeah, actually creating all the refugees, creating free access to them. So I don't know what everybody's thinking. Let's listen to some more music that will give us the flavor of today. Right, that was a great song. This song carried us through the end of 80s and 90s. I remember it very clearly from in L.A. It was hot. It was great. What was it? 103.5 FM. You know, that was good. Anyway, we are here on VBS Radio. We are the future, actually, of music and love music and all of the sorts, because we are the radio station of made by the people, for the people, and we are going to make the difference in the world. In this world that all going crazy, we have the steady thinking, the strength, the power, and the will to make a difference. And we are here with you, and we are welcome you every time, again and again, and we hug you and we love you and we pray for your safeguard wherever you are, all across the world, because with you we can cross over this incredible waters these days. And you know, between us, only us, you know, friends, and our little dysfunctional family, as Mr. Kerry says, between U.S. and Israel, it's all in their family. A little dysfunctional, that's what he meant. I heard John Kerry at the Saban Forum last week. He wasn't putting on an act. He was really heartbroken and concerned about the peace process. That was Raviv Drucker, one of Israeli prominent reporters. He was concerned. Now let's listen to the fact that being concerned is something that we all are constantly. And Mr. Kerry is concerned about the fact that there might be no Palestinian state or no two-state solution. It makes it going to be one state with both. But you have to understand, Mr. Kerry, Mr. John Kerry, our beloved Secretary of State of the U.S. You have to remember that a Jewish state cannot be binational. It's an oxymoron. We need to to just live with that. Now, the fact that those Palestinians who you called a partner, maybe of somebody else, but they are not. They are animals of death. They are running ragged. Children, I'm telling you, children, youth, girls, women, and men, they're all going around like, first of all, they have an attitude, right? When there is something that I grew up, you know, to learn is the difference between somebody who wants to make peace with you or one who gave you an attitude and wants you to vanish. Remember, I spent so many years in the South. South Carolina gives you the idea of what you know attitude is if you are in the wrong place. You understand it, the way they look at others, the way they treat people, or the way they treat you, or whatever. You know life. So I know the attitude of the Palestinian. I go to Jerusalem to look me in the eyes, and I have to resist and show them that, you know, that courage, because they are not going to run us from the holy city of God, because there is a God, and it's not us. And whatever matter we're supposed to take care, you know, to be the custodian of his holy, holy land for everybody to come. Because if you look about, you know, I'm reading through, because, you know, I love men and women, you know, humanity at all. But I don't like when they threaten people. I don't like when people just have an attitude. And when they say that, you know, people distorted the Bible and it's supposed to be Muslim. And, you know, the Muslim did not exist at the time of the Bible, or they connected some additional form of, you know, I don't know what they're talking about, but I know something like that, you know, that they don't hold a book like the Bible. The Bible, you know, stayed and survived because, I guess, it's truth. If not, they wouldn't preserve it so much. that's how it's, and it's the most incredible book in the world because it's the journey. And you know what's so bad about that book, let's say? It gives you the Ten Commandments. It gives you the rules of God and humanity. It gives you humanity as well. It gives you trade and freedom. And you know what? In that specter, I have to say something. There was a comment that been said to the Jewish Republican by Donald Trump. And everybody was trying to convince me. I actually collected that video to send to listen to, but we are running out of time. And they were trying to back and forth and said, oh, Donald Trump is talking to you, you know, condescending, racist, biased. You know, I'm a Jew. I'm actually Israeli, so we have the chutzpah, you know, we have the attitude, they say. But, you know, Donald Trump said words did insult us. The fact that they say that you business people, yeah, we are business people. You negotiate, yeah, we negotiate. You renegotiate, yeah, it means that we give you a chance many times again and again to come truth. That's not an offense. People take offense for us. Please don't. You know, we get offended enough. It's not, you don't have to indicate that we need to get offended again. We did not get offended by Donald Trump, all right? And the fact that some of the legislators decided to sign a letter to get them not to come, it's like, who are you? You know, those the one that support the terrorist act? You saying to who? You know, the candidate of the U.S. president? I don't think so. I don't think you have the moral authority to even say a word to Donald Trump. Because whatever it is, he's a true candidate in a free country where he can talk. And he's concerned, and he said something about the Muslim, and I think that he overreached like he does all the time. But the truth of the matter, you don't know if you choose fear or freedom. I choose freedom, but we need to be vigilant. Nothing new about that. This is the old routine book. You are here, and Carrie, when he's concerned, is in the same boat like everybody else, every politician. And you know, going back to Donald Trump, you must remember, the difference between the business sector to the political sector is very large. You know, the difference is big because Trump is talking about deals. Because for him, it comes to an agreement, it's a deal. You shake hands and you negotiate, it means that something changed in the function or in the equation. And you renegotiate. And let me give you an example. When you renegotiate constantly all the time, it's in the building industry. Because in the building industry, when you give a proposal, it's only a wild guess. Because they give you architectural plans, and you need to measure it. Then you calculate your trade, or you calculate the building, and then you go. And you make an assessment of how much it's going to cost you. Now, in that formula, you don't know about strike. You don't know about rain or snow. You don't know if it's cold. You don't know if somebody got sick. You don't know what will be the time frame exactly. You hope, you pray, and you do. But let's say in the middle of that building, somebody decided to build another fireplace, which I love. Guys, if there is anything I miss about America, is the fireplace, all right? Let's go back. So when the guy wanted to build another fireplace, he comes and he said, hey, I want here another fireplace. He said, okay, so you come to the table, you renegotiate the same deal because you have to add up. It means when you negotiate and then you're flexible, you talk. And if there is anything in the world, you can say, we are the Jews, we negotiate because we are flexible. It's not a bad thing to do. It's not a bad thing. and actually save your back constantly, all right? So don't be fearful about this negotiation or anything. And Donald Trump, yeah, hey, you know, I heard that Ted Cruz is cruising. So let's hope that we're going to have some exciting debate tomorrow, all right? So we have the presidential debate tomorrow night, and we are going to listen to, and we're going to talk Wednesday, and hopefully we have some comments about that, because it's going to be the day after, all right? So from Orly Benny Davis to you from the Holy Land, I wish you all the best. Love you. Be well. Be worthy of the soul that God give you. God bless you. Bye-bye.